giving us the thumbs up. All right, well, I'm going to call our Board of Commissioner a public lands meeting to order on the September 17th. And the first item is routine business and approving the minutes. I move to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, John. Any friendly amendments, discussion, debate? See none. All those in favor of approving the minutes say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, John.
The minutes are approved. The next item is we have two loans at a little over $4.6 million. Is there a motion to approve the loans?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, John. Rich, can we turn it over to you to walk us through? Oh, sorry, Josh.
Sarah, if you didn't second already, I will.
You can second that. Thank you, Josh.
Oh, great.
Rich, now that the loan portfolio has been, there's been a first and a second, can you walk us through what we're looking at today?
Absolutely, Sarah. Thank you. The first loan is to the town of Lincoln in Vilas County for their portion of a ladder truck. I believe that they're a member of a fire district, and so they are not buying a full ladder truck for $108,000. That's just their portion of the fire district cost for that truck. Then the second loan is to the County of Florence to finance building construction for some EMS buildings. Are there any questions?
That's a big loan for Florence for their size, isn't it?
I believe that they're working on more than one building, John.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a large size, but you know, it's a county, and you know, generally they're going to have plenty of equalized value to back that up.
And out of curiosity, Rich, under the EMS one, did you get any more information? I mean, we know EMS in particular has been an area that's been hurting in many parts of rural Wisconsin.
I don't really have a whole lot of more information. You know, they're working on improving the infrastructure for their EMS services, and this loan will go a long way towards doing that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Rich. Any questions from the commissioners about the loans that we are reviewing today? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the loan portfolio, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, John.
The loans are approved. Moving into old business.
One additional word on the loans.
Sure.
We've only got two today, and it may be a little bit slower for a bit because we reduced interest rates. And so Rich right now is working through a number of communities that are going back over and restarting to take advantage of the lower interest rates. So we may have a little bit of a lag in terms of applications. So
thanks for mentioning that, Tom. I was going to mention it and I forgot at the end. Thank you.
No problem.
Moving on to old business, which is the discussion of the budget provision regarding Milwaukee County fines and forfeitures. Tom, would you like to talk us through that?
Well, I think because of the fact that we will be talking a bit about litigation matters, this is an appropriate time to go directly into closed session. I do not at this point foresee the board taking a vote on anything. It's more of an update on potential litigation strategies with respect to that issue. And so it's better to discuss that in closed session pursuant to Wisconsin State Statute 19.85 sub 1 sub G.
Okay. Is there a motion to go into closed session?
I'll make that motion.
I will second that. Any debate discussion? All right. All those in favor of going to closed session, say aye. Aye, Sarah. Josh is going to abstain.
Yeah, he'll say aye, John.
Great. So we are going to move.
I'll abstain.
Yep. Okay. So we will move into closed session. So thanks, everybody, and we'll see you in a little bit.
Thank you.
Will you just return to this line afterwards?
Well.
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. We're just coming back into public session. So just as far as the next steps is that in preparation for the upcoming legislative session that starts in early October, we are going to do a special meeting on the 30th of September, so that Tuesday at 2:00. So if there's no objection to having a special BCPL meeting on September 30th, I'd like to move forward with that.
No objection for me.
And does this relate to the topic that you just met in closed session on?
Correct.
All right, I'll abstain then.
Great. So the motion carries. We will have our special session on the 30th at 2:00.
Sarah, for that session, is it going to be exclusively focused on this topic or?
Yes, it will be exclusively focused on this topic.
Okay. And in that case, I'll plan to recuse myself from that meeting. And I should also just note for the public record that I recuse from the closed session here and will continue doing so in future closed sessions on this topic.
Okay. Noted, Josh. Thank you. All right, so moving on to new business, there's no new business. So we have routine business and the Chief Investment Officer's report, where Rich put together our portfolio updates for the Common School Fund. So Rich, can I turn it over to you to walk through your update, your quarterly update?
Absolutely. Thank you, Sarah. First of all, I'd like to say that I just sent everybody a corrected version of the portfolio report and allocation report. There was just a minor sorting error that the spreadsheet didn't pick up. And so all the totals are correct. There was just a division between the U.S. Treasury agency bonds and the U.S. TIPS. Shouldn't impact a whole lot in our discussion today, but everybody has a corrected version in their email. Right. Overall, it was a good quarter, and our portfolio continues to perform well. For the fiscal year ending June 30th, the Common School Fund earned a record $71 million, which is $3 million more than fiscal year 24. We distributed a record $70 million, and we banked the difference between those earnings and distribution numbers into the Common School Fund Smoothing Fund, which has now grown to a record $43 million. With that backdrop, let me change course a little bit and talk about the plumbing underneath our investment policy. What we call the targeted distribution each year is the moving average of the prior 5 years' earnings. We designed it this way so that beneficiaries would not be impacted greatly by annual swings in the financial markets. You'll remember that protection for beneficiaries also includes what we call smoothing funds. The smoothing funds are actually earnings that are withheld from current distributions, but that will be distributed when needed at some point in the future. For example, if fiscal year 25 earnings had come in $5 million below the targeted distribution, the smoothing funds would have been available to supplement that distribution. Our beneficiaries depend on stable distributions. The Common School Fund is the sole source of state funding dedicated to public school libraries and media and resources. The existence of these smoothing funds helps provide that funding stability during uncertain times. The investment policy defines the minimum smoothing fund to be 50% of the next year's targeted distribution. At the time the board approved our investment policy, we figured that a market slump could last for many years and that the 50% figure sounded reasonable. The reality is that actual earnings of the Common School Fund have grown significantly in recent years. Fiscal year 25 earnings were $71 million, as I mentioned, while fiscal year 21 earnings were less than $44 million. That brings the new calculation for the 2026 targeted distribution, equal to the average of the past 5 years' earnings, is now set at $58.2 million. That number now sounds a little underwhelming, doesn't it? That's because the five-year average still counts earnings prior to the full implementation of our investment strategy. However, that's going to change pretty soon. As we move forward, these lower earning years will be systematically dropped from the five-year average. Everything looks really good for now. Over the next year, we will earn much more than the $58 million targeted distribution. Our smoothing fund balance at $43 million is now about $14 million over the minimum. However, as those prior years drop off the calculation of moving average, the targeted distribution and the minimum smoothing fund balance will rise quickly. Most, if not all, of the excess smoothing funds will disappear just due to the math. Of course, when recommending the new asset allocations approved by the board in June, the investment committee took all of this into account and considered projections of the earnings, distributions, and smoothing fund balances over the next 10 years. The conclusion of the investment committee was a prudent and multi-year transition where a small portion of the common school fund would be reinvested into higher growth assets. Sorry about throwing out all those numbers, but are there any questions about this part of the discussion?
None from the people in the room, Rich.
Okay, thank you. One future decision point for the board might be consideration whether the smoothing fund balance really needs to be at the full 50% of the targeted distribution. This 50% figure was deemed reasonable before we began diversifying out of our prior authority, which consisted 100% of fixed income. We were going to be investing into asset classes that many considered higher risk. However, the reality is that income generated by a diverse asset pool is actually less volatile than a portfolio consisting of 100% fixed income. The income generated by fixed income assets is impacted to a much greater extent by changing market interest rates. We now have 10 separate asset categories that contribute over $1 million to our distributable income, and six of these categories contribute more than $5 million each year. Because the smoothing fund is meant to smooth out the distributions to beneficiaries, and the volatility of income has actually been reduced by our investment strategy, maybe the smoothing fund doesn't need to be so large. However, you know, before we make any changes to our investment policy, I would recommend waiting a few more years for additional data to confirm this theory. But I wanted to put the idea on the board's radar. Are there any questions before we move on to the quarterly review?
No, thank you, Rich.
Okay. If not, then the investment committee has begun to implement some changes to our asset allocation as approved by the board in June. These changes include $50 million in additional commitments to the private debt and infrastructure space. And coming up this fall, the investment committee is scheduled to hear from additional fund managers in the private equity, private debt, venture capital, and infrastructure asset classes. However, one of the most exciting events over recent months has been in an area that has really lagged for our investment portfolio. BCPL began committing to venture capital back in 2018, and we have needed to remain very, very patient. Both the nature of this type of investment and market conditions over the past few years have contributed to delay any good news from this portfolio by several years. But now I am happy to report that we are starting to see some results. A few months ago, I had discussed an exciting development regarding a healthcare finance company within one of our funds. HealthBridge is a Michigan company with software being integrated directly into healthcare systems and their electronic health record systems like Epic. HealthBridge pays the healthcare system a discounted amount for balances due from the patient following any payments from the insurance company, and then collects from that consumer over time. Patients, whether they have insurance or not, can pay for their medical expenses over time with no interest. This option gives them the confidence to seek medical care when necessary. There are no credit checks, applications, or hidden fees involved. Plus, patients won't need to navigate to an outside company account or use a separate patient app. The company recently raised additional equity to fund operations and expanded their debt facility to support their rollout with their first major customer, Trinity Health Systems. Trinity Health is one of the largest not-for-profit Catholic healthcare systems in the nation. It is a family consisting of 93 hospitals, 107 continuing care facilities, 142 urgent care locations, 127,000 employees, and 5,300 physicians across 26 states. Once the HealthBridge rollout is complete, it is projected that Trinity Systems account alone will generate several $100 million in annual revenue to HealthBridge. This is not a done deal. The HealthBridge rollout within Trinity remains in early stages, but reports are that implementation and acceptance is beyond all expectations. The current valuation is now at 9 times the amount of our initial investment. HealthBridge will be exciting to watch, but until there is an exit of our investment through a sale or an IPO, it's all just on paper. Which brings me to the really good news. BCPL has now participated in our first unicorn, namely Histosonics. I provided some details about Histosonics in past reports. Histosonics is a medical device company headquartered in the Twin Cities. They developed the Edison system, which is a standalone device that uses focused sound waves to destroy tumors in a non-invasive outpatient procedure. Histo has received FDA clearance for liver tumors and has ongoing studies for kidney and pancreatic cancers. Results have been exceptional, and I encourage board members to check out the Histosonics website. Madison-based Venture Investors has been a major supporter of Histosonics since inception. In fact, VI managing partner Jim Addicks is the Histosonics board chair. That is, until recently. About a month ago, Histosonics announced the sale of the company in a transaction valued at over $2.2 billion. I guess that might count as two unicorns. Or maybe I can trademark the phrase tunicorns. BCPL got involved more than 7 years ago with our initial commitment to Venture Investors Health Fund 6. That was only our second commitment to the venture capital asset class. The investment committee was immediately excited about the potential of Histosonics and continued to invest in this company through two additional commitments, bringing our ownership position up to about 1.5% of the company. With the recent sale, our total investment of $5.7 million has now returned approximately $21.4 million in cash. The investment committee still believes that Histosonics has the potential to impact the future delivery and outcome of cancer treatment throughout the world. We are happy to report that we are retaining a position valued at $8 million in the recapitalized company. Including that retained stock, our investment return from the sale totals $29.4 million and is over 5 times our original investment. Venture investors will keep a board seat on the new company, and the general partner expects the value of Histo to increase at approximately 40% per annum. Revenues are projected to exceed $1 billion by 2029, when another sale of the company is anticipated. I find it exceptionally rewarding, and I hope you share this feeling, to be involved, granted, in a very small way, with a company that is saving lives today and has the potential to make a large impact on the future of cancer treatment. All of this is in addition to providing excellent returns to our beneficiaries. This is really good stuff and well worth the wait. Are there any questions on HealthBridge or Histosonics before I move on?
Well, and Rich, no, I really appreciate you sharing and drilling down into a few of the companies, because I think that sometimes provides light behind these numbers. That's really informative. And I would also just add, in addition to exciting about it, a unicorn that's benefiting our public schools is that these funds are here in Wisconsin. So I think that's another big piece of it. We are supporting oftentimes Midwest businesses or Wisconsin-based funds that are doing this work too.
Excellent point. Now let's take a quick look at the portfolio report on page 8 of today's packet. As you know, I like to focus on the bottom line, which shows a projected annual income of over $73.5 million during the next 12 months. That number is 5% higher than the amount we distributed earlier this year. The question we should be asking is, how likely is it that we're going to reach that target? I think the odds are pretty good. Even if interest rates start to come down, as many economists believe might happen over the next few years, I see at least four potential impacts from lower market rates. Lower rates might eventually reduce yields within our corporate bond ETFs and state trust fund loans, but that impact would take some time. And our state muni and U.S. bond portfolios are all fixed rate to maturity. As mentioned, the investment committee has made additional commitments to private debt, which averages an impressive 10% yield in our portfolio. Private debt investments are all variable rate and the yields will decline with market rates. However, the yields on this asset class will always be higher than our portfolio average and continue to benefit our distributions. The third impact from lower rates might be an increase in the value of our fixed income portfolios. These portfolios, including preferred stocks, showed a net loss of over $40 million at the end of Q2 because market interest rates went up following our initial investments. Should rates come down over the next few years, these losses will certainly be trimmed. Another impact of lower future market rates might be the need to reinvest callable bonds. As market rates decrease below their current coupon or stated rate, issuers of callable bonds have the opportunity to refinance their outstanding balances. In addition to state trust fund loans, all $200 million now invested in state muni and U.S. agency bonds are callable. We invest in callable issues because they offer higher interest rate than similar bonds that are not callable. And we have benefited from those higher rates with improved distributable income over the past many years. But should rates fall far and fast, our strategy of investing in callable debt will certainly create the need to reinvest a large share of the common school fund portfolio and could accelerate our reallocation strategy. Are there any questions on the portfolio report before we move on to the allocation report on the next page?
Rich, how much would rates have to fall for that to be an issue for us?
It really depends, John. If rates fell another 0.5%, we would probably start seeing some of our agency bonds being called. If rates continue to fall, all of our state trust fund loans are, they can refinance our state trust fund loans without penalty. And so some of those borrowers may attempt to refinance that debt too. But overall, I would say if rates fall another 0.5 to 1, we're going to see some activity in that regard.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
John, it's a question. Oftentimes when we talk about interest rates falling, especially in terms of the Federal Reserve taking action, the Federal Reserve has a direct impact on short-term rates, which has an indirect impact on long-term rates. And so what we've seen happen recently is a steepening of the yield curve, whereas the short end of the curve, bonds that are maturing in 6 months, a year, up to 2 years, those yields are dropping, but the long-term rates, they're coming down, but not as fast. Rich, stop me if I'm wrong here. And so when you ask the question, how far would the rates have to move on our portfolio, it depends on the bond. So if it's a long-term bond, if those rates are still hanging up there pretty high, but the short-term is dropping, then it's up to the issuer to decide, do they want to, change how they issue their debt? For example, we have quite a bit of farm credit debt out there. Mm-hmm. So it's callable, but they may want to reanalyze about how long they want to go on some of those.
So sounds like, 0.5% it starts and then it just builds from there.
I think that's right. But one thing I would add, Tom, is that sometimes Fed action, because it is based on overnight bank loans, might have the opposite effect on long-term rates.
Yes.
Because if the market believes that Fed reducing short-term rates is going to increase economic activity and inflation expectations go up, long-term rates are going to go up rather than down. Steepening of the yield curve is exactly what Tom was talking about.
Okay, thanks.
Moving on to the allocation report. I don't have a lot to say here, except that the investment committee is working hard to increase commitments to asset classes that remain below target. But we will continue to do so in a prudent manner. Our cash available for investment remains strong, with recent projections remaining above $75 million over the next year. I'm going to pause for a little bit to see if there's any questions about this page. Give you a chance to look it over a little bit. And like I said, I did send corrected pages of both the portfolio report and the allocation report to your emails. If we move on to the final page in the packet, during the second quarter of every year, I have been updating the board on our progress versus inflation. You will see that this year, I've included the analysis of both principal and annual distributions from the Common School Fund. I think these tables show that we've been doing a great job. Of particular interest is the annual increase in distributions when compared to the increase in assets over the past 3 year and 10 year periods. Distributions have grown much faster than assets as we have implemented the prudent investor standard. One odd note is the recent increase in the price of educational books and supplies. I had to triple check that number because past data has always had the inflation in this category much lower than general CPI. I have no explanation for this recent bump, but since Common School Fund distributions are used for public school libraries and media, we should keep an eye on this data moving forward. That's really all I have for today. Does anybody have any final questions or comments?
Not from, I think, folks in the room, Rich, but
I'm just checking if you're online. Anybody else frozen?
I could not hear that last part from Sarah.
Let me go see if they can repeat that. Mine just froze too.
It froze for me too.
Hi. Did you adjourn? Okay. Oh. Okay, it's still going here, so let's see if I can rejoin. I'll re-invite you. I'll see if I can get... Okay, yeah, we heard it freeze, and everybody on the phone is still there. So we'll try to get it started again. Just a moment.
There we go.
All right. Oh, I guess I was wrong.
We're back.
Sorry, everyone. Right. Thank you for bearing with us.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
We're back.
And I don't know where we were frozen out, but I was just, Rich, saying we appreciate the work and putting together both the overall portfolio report, asset allocation, but just I think in where we are in today's world, the inflation report, too, is something I look forward to as far as seeing principal and distribution and how that kind of all relates. So thanks for kind of keeping us apprised of all of that.
Thank you.
Sarah, we had heard you say that you didn't have any questions on Rich's report, and that's where it cut out. I'll just add, I don't have any questions either. So, but okay. I do want to echo that thanks to Rich.
Great. Okay. Moving on to the executive secretary's report.
I've been verbose enough today, so I'll keep this short. Three quick things. Rich and I are heading to Milwaukee for the League of Municipalities meetings the next couple days. We have a booth there. Gives us a chance to talk to a lot of officials from cities and villages about our loan program. The folks up north have been working further at trying to figure out a way to utilize carbon credits on our lands. You may recall that several years ago we had looked at it, and it stepped away for two reasons. One of them, at that time, the entity that was making the proposal wanted us to keep it confidential, how much we would get paid, how much they would get paid, and how the process worked. And when I pointed out that the Attorney General was on our board and he was responsible for enforcing the open records law, that this didn't make any sense for us to proceed. But things have changed. Other public entities have now entered the carbon credits world, and this may be a possibility for us. And finally, at one of the next meetings, we will be bringing a settlement of claims resolution to the board. Property that we had never sold had been acquired by the Nature Conservancy. Well, excuse me, they thought they bought it from someone with title insurance, and the title insurance company realized that we still owned it. And so they will be paying us the full appraised value for that parcel. So those three things are the extent of my report today. So
thank you, Tom. Any questions for the executive secretary?
So do we have to sign with a land patent then? Or how does that?
So it would be either a patent or a deed. And I haven't
looked okay. closely yeah. enough at it. Because technically it's not theirs yet.
Yep.
Okay.
Any other questions, John?
No.
Okay.
I was just curious.
Yeah. Moving on to the board chair's report, one of the things that Tom shared with us this summer is his retirement date, first of basically the second of the year.
Yes.
And we know we're going to have big shoes to fill. So I am meeting with HR next week to outline a process and would like to share that then with the board at our October 7th meeting as far as when we want this posted and kind of when we hope to start doing interviews with the knowing recruitment's also going to need to be built into that. So I will, I look forward to sharing that timeline and getting feedback from all of you, but knowing that the next 3 months are gonna go really quickly. So we know we got to start working on this sooner rather than later, unfortunately. So I'm dreading this at the same time as knowing it's something we've got to all do. So I will be sharing more information with you all on October 7th.
Great. Thanks.
And that's it for my report. Are there any future agenda items? All right. Seeing none, I move to adjourn. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor of adjourning our meeting say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
The meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.